Scripture read this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. Come, let us pray before we continue. God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning through your word. Let what is of you strengthen us, guide us, lead us, transform us. And what is not beneficial be scattered to the winds. Open our hearts to you. Teach us, Lord, to be humble before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when I was a young boy, maybe 8 to 10 years old, I remember there was this commercial on TV about McDonald's. That is not the one. So the commercials had different characters in it. You know, Ronald McDonald, the clown, Grimace, the purple monster. I tried to put an arrow there. So there's this, I don't really remember the details, but I remember Ronald McDonald, the clown, actually trying to look for Grimace, this purple monster. So he's going around and he's asking people, oh, did Grimace walk this way? Did Grimace walk this way, pass by, and etc.? But then the person turned and said to him, no, he walked this way. Then show the action. Oh boy, that was how Grimace, this monster, walked. Now the younger ones here won't know the commercial, that's fine. The reason I was reminded of this commercial is because of the word walk. You know, like many other words, it can be perceived, understood differently. You know, to pass this way or to walk in a certain manner. And it can also be understood as a person's character and life. And that's especially so in the Bible, the walk. And this word walk has dominated our Ephesians series over the past two Sundays. At the beginning of Ephesians 4, in verse 1, Paul actually urges the believers to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And last week, we were exhorted to walk in the new life of Christ and never be the same again. You know, with Paul saying to the believers, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul continues to call the believers to walk in love. It is a continuation from Ephesians 4 about how believers should behave, how they should conduct themselves, how they should walk the way God intended his children to. Empowered by his spiritual blessings and in a new life received by grace through faith. Now Ephesians 5 begins with, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, after telling believers that they should no longer walk as the Gentiles do, Paul, the Apostle Paul now tells them what they should do. Be imitators of God. Become imitators of God. It is another way of saying, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God is righteous, God is holy, and God is love. And I guess the highest point, the best example, the embodiment, greatest act of love was seen in none other than Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us. Now, any Christian reading this would know what it means. It is the gospel message of Jesus giving up his life as a sacrifice for our sin. He who had no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And he also demonstrates the great love God the Father has for us. You know, we are his beloved children. It's a relationship. Therefore, we are to walk in love, as Christ did. We are to imitate the love of Jesus. We are to love others as he did. And when we do that, our life, our walk, will then be a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Lord. Now, Jesus gave up his glory, his heavenly position, his power. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. That's found in Philippians chapter 2. What might that look like for us? What would that look like for the believers in Ephesus? In verses 3 and 4, Paul tells the believers of what they must give up, what they have to empty themselves of. As imitators of God, they have to give up sexual immorality, all impurity, and covetousness. And there should not be filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Now, before the Apostle Paul came to the city of Ephesus with the gospel message, this city was really a city that's devoted to idolatry. The whole life, the culture was devoted to idolatry. They worshipped different gods, and they enjoyed this lifestyle of idol worship. The Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was actually itself in Ephesus. And if you read through the book of Acts, you know that this idolatry, this idol business, was very lucrative. Meaning this worship of Artemis was widespread and attracted many, even from outside the city. So Paul, as he came, he stayed in Ephesus for a few years, he converted many of these idolaters, you know, formerly idol worship. These people whose whole life would have involved sexual immorality, all impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. You know, basically everything that is not of God, these people had in their whole life. For us today, what do we have to give up as we become imitators of God? Now we know about sexual immorality, you know, the lust of the eyes, pornography, extramarital affairs, and other similar things. But something more straightforward. How about our speech? You know, the filthiness, the foolish talk, the crude joking. In the NIV, it is translated as obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. Not very much different, but it also gives us a wider, clearer understanding of the verse. Now, for the men among us who are in national service, who have gone through national service, I'm quite sure you have experienced obscenities, vulgarities, foolish talk, and coarse joking. You know, when a group of men are grouped together, restless, bored, very often there are meaningless, distasteful conversations and jokes. While as Christians we may not join in the conversation, we may not share similar jokes, we might laugh. You know, you sit beside a group of them, you sit together with them, as they say certain things as crude, it's funny, you will laugh. Because we actually understand the joke. However foolish, crude, or distasteful it is, that old life is still in us. I remember as a young man, not too long ago, you know, one of the shows I really enjoyed was this talk show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? This comedy talk show where I think the comedians are really quick-witted and brilliant in turning everyday occurrences, objects, and topics into a joke. And most of the time, the funniest jokes are actually those that has sexual innuendos, suggestives, that jokes about sexuality or even race. And the thing is, I would laugh along and I kind of learn from them or how I can use certain words, how I can change certain things to make it sound funnier. Even then, I was a believer. I was attending church at that time. But that old life, the old nature was still in me. I enjoyed the show a lot. And I enjoyed the occasional foolish and crude talks with friends. Of course, most of them were non-believers. Last Sunday, Pastor Yiling reminded us that we all have that old life in us. But we must not live it out. That old life, that old nature, fallen nature is in us, but we cannot act out on it. And I must admit, the jokes, the vulgarities, the foolish talk, the crude jokes are still in me. I can still remember them. I can still remember the words. But I have stopped acting them out or saying them out, at least most of the time. It is a slow process with a conscious decision not to verbalize them. Becoming imitators of God. It is a process. And we should not be deceived that these are just harmless jokes. You know, because Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person." 16th century Puritan preacher said this, similar. "You know, for the tap runneth according to the liquor wherewith the vessel is filled. If the container, you know, is filled with water and you turn on the tap, water will come out. If it is filled with filth, turn on the tap, filth will come out. If our hearts and minds are corrupted, what comes out of our mouth will likewise be corrupted." Why is this important? Why is this important for the believers and even for us? And then I think this is in the following verses. "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness." You know, having received the immense spiritual blessing of God, having received new life, believers must live out that new life in a new way. You know, we cannot remain the same. We cannot remain in the old life and expect changes. There might be some who will try to deceive us with empty words. Words that have no significance and impact on eternity. Empty words that talk about, you know, living the here and now. That there's no consequences to living how you want, because God is not real, there's no heaven or hell, no YOLO, you only live once, FOMO, fear of missing out. These are empty words that has no significant impact. Empty words that says, you know, God loves everyone, God will accept everyone regardless of your choice, regardless of the way you live your life. God will love you. No, those are lies. Lies from the sons of disobedience. Lies from those who do not want to believe in God, who do not want to surrender and submit to God. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness. We were darkness. We know the old life. We enjoyed the old life. And it is so easy to return to that old life, to the old fallen nature. So rather than participating in actions, in words that corrupt, that dilutes our love for God, we should participate in actions, words that promotes, grow our love for God. To walk in love and to walk as children of light. I'm not going to read through the passage. You know, darkness is almost synonymous with evil. Nothing much to see here, just a pair of eyes. But somehow, as we look at pictures like this, there's a certain anticipation, a certain fear, especially for children. You know, in the movies, the TV shows, that's what we see. The scary monsters hide in the darkness. The evil people come out at night. Evil deeds are done under the cover of darkness so that few can see or know what is happening. But that is not the life God wants for us. That is not the life for the children of God. Believers are to walk as children of light. It is the light of God that saved us. It is the light of God that exposed the darkness of sin in our lives. And the Apostle Paul exhorts us, the believers here, to live the new life bearing the fruit of light. The fruit that is good, right, and true. Now this is as opposed, in contrast to the sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness in the earlier verses. Those are the unfruitful work of darkness. But then we are not just called to refrain from evil, we are not just called to refrain from darkness. We are to expose them by the light of God. Everything that is done in secret by believers has to be exposed, has to be brought into the light. You know, I believe that means we have to bring our secret sins before the Lord in confession. Confession is important. Every Sunday, we have a time of corporate confession to remind us of our duty, of the new life we have in Christ, that we can come before Him honestly, openly, and confess. The secret sins cannot be hidden from God, but God wants us to bring it to Him, to confess. God wants us to repent. So believers, we have to tell it as it is. Whatever is hidden in our hearts, whatever sin we have committed, if the word of God says something is wrong, then we are not to call it otherwise. We are not to dismiss what Scripture says or try to twist it to mean something else. The world today, with its popular and loud opinion, says that everyone should be more tolerant, everyone should be more inclusive. We should be more open-minded and less judgmental. But that is not the way of God. That is not the way for a Christian. We are to call sin as it is. Sin. Adultery is sin. Lying is a sin. Materialism is sin. Neglect of the poor, neglect of the helpless is sin. Sin is sin. And it is hard to say it to someone, to expose someone to the light of Christ, to expose their sin. It is also hard to hear it. To have someone point out to you, you know, that what you are doing is wrong in the eyes of God. But that is exactly what it means to bring to the light, to expose to light what is secret and hidden. And thankfully, Christ does not stop at that. Jesus is the light of the world. It is his light that exposes sin. And we are to imitate Christ in bearing good fruit and exposing sin. In John chapter 4, you know, Jesus did not just expose the sin of the Samaritan woman. As he spoke to her, he did not just tell her, oh, what she has done wrong, you have how many husbands. But Jesus brought her back into the light of God. And as she understood her sin and her need for a new life, there were changes. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We do not know who Paul is quoting here, but the simple message is that we must wake up. Believers must wake up. Non-believers must wake up. The church must wake up from its indifference and lethargy. Now, there are some believers who might have fallen asleep in the darkness of the old life. They are indifferent to what is happening around them. They are oblivious to others in the church who might have returned to a sinful lifestyle, or they themselves have returned to their old foolish life. And they are lethargic, you know, lazy, refusing to move, refusing to grow, refusing to serve. Now, brothers and sisters, let us wake from our own spiritual indifferences. Let us rise from our lethargy. You know, let us speak words that build, speak words that help us change. And let Christ shine on us so that we can shine for Jesus, because we are called to be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let us walk in love. Let us walk as children of light. Let us walk with care. Let us walk with wisdom. Look carefully then how you walk. You know, it is not easy to become an imitator of God, to walk in love and to walk as children of light. You know, no matter what age we are, it is always easier to do what is contrary to God's command and desire. It is that old life, that fallen human nature. And there are times when we just feel like we are not, or we do not want to be children of God. We do not want to walk in his light. You know, earlier when Hong Chang was sharing about being anger, a lot of us will just easily drop into it. You know, those with young children, when you scold, you know, take out the cane, hantam a few times. It is not easy. It is always easier to do something that is contrary to God's command. So we have to be careful. We have to be wise in our choices and our decisions. We have to be attentive to how we live out our lives. It is not without purpose, and it is to be lived out according to the will of God. Now in verses 15 to 18, there are three contrasts laid out by the Apostle Paul. Now, the first one is not as unwise, but as wise. You know, believers are called to be wise in our walk. It is a call to make the conscious effort, the conscious choice between the old life and the new life. To remember that we have been taught by the Lord Jesus, and then to make the best use of the time we have now. To seize the day. To grab every opportunity to do good. To share the gospel, to build a church, to build the body of Christ. Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. The prince of the power of the air is still at work in the sons of disobedience. And they will do everything they can to tempt, to distract us from living out the will of God with empty talks, with every kind of temptation. And then the second contrast calls believers not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of God is, what the will of the Lord is. You know, a foolish person lacks understanding. A foolish person can be easily caught up with the ways of the world, the temptation, the distractions from this prince of the power of the air. So we are called to not only hear, not only to read the Word of God, but to understand the will of God, and then be able to apply it to life. That's why we have Word to Life, to help one another to learn how to apply God's Word to life. It can be very simple things, it can be a very direct application, or it can be even a sharing of how we have failed to do certain things that's of God. We are to live out God's will for us as children of light and to walk in a manner worthy of God's calling. Now, as we come to this point, some of you might ask, then how can I know God's will for me? How can I know God's will for me? The simple answer is to read the Bible. Read the Bible, know the Bible, spend time with God through prayer, through intercession. Ask God to reveal to you His good and perfect will. Ask God to reveal to you His good and perfect will. Ask and you will receive. But it will take time, it will take effort. And then the third contrast tells us, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but to be filled with the Spirit. Wine was as common in those days as it is today. Now the Apostle Paul is not actually stopping believers from drinking. The issue he has is with getting drunk when one drinks too much. Debauchery means excessive indulgence in bodily pleasure, excessive drinking. And when a person gets drunk, the first thing that happens is the loss of understanding, the loss of self-control. Now, a drunk person cannot stand straight, cannot walk straight, cannot even sit properly or speak properly. There's a loss of control. And the world believes the lie that getting drunk is a way to escape your troubles. You know, young people get caught up in binge drinking because they believe the lie that in order to have fun, one must drink. There's no harm getting drunk. It is a dangerous indulgence. A national survey published in 2022 showed that binge drinking in Singapore was on the rise, with young adults between the ages of 18 to 39 being the most at risk. I'm outside of the range, I'm safe. To our young people here, are you at risk? Is drinking a problem for you? Or if not drinking, is something else taking a hold of you today? Bring it to the light of God, bring it to the light of Christ, and let God help you. Believers are called instead to be filled with the Spirit of God, not to be drunk with wine. And in contrast to losing control because of drunkenness, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. There's no chaos, there's no disorder when one is filled with the Spirit of God. There should be no chaos, there should be no disorder. And the call to be filled with the Spirit is a reminder that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. That was in Ephesians chapter 1. The believers are assured that they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. That means we can already live the new life in Christ. A new life that is lived out with believers, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Imagine on Sunday morning as you come in, the welcome team, the pastors come and greet you, you know, with a song. Welcome, welcome all of you, glad you are with us. It's going to be very tiring for the welcome team as people stroll in, you know, cannot finish the song. Welcome, welcome all of you. Oh, another person come in. You know, that's not what the verse means. We don't sing like that to one another. But it means believers are able to sing. We are able to make melody to the Lord wholeheartedly, to praise the Lord in our hearts, with our hearts, wholeheartedly. As we had worship earlier, I don't know how you feel. Do you have the urge to sing out? Do you have the urge to do something? Does it fill you with joy, with thanksgiving? Does the word encourage you? Does the word stirs you? It is an outflow of a heartfelt relationship, one that is informed, one that is motivated by God's word. Believers filled with the Spirit will also be giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is easy to grumble, it is easy to complain, you know, to have a negative and sour attitude, to look at what we do not have, to focus on what we do not have. But the book of Ephesians has already shown us the immense blessings we have in Christ, eternal, meaningful blessings we have in Christ. So give thanks. Give thanks for the new life you have. Give thanks for the freedom to worship, for this place we have to worship, for the fellowship we can enjoy after church, the joy we have in Christ. When we look at the earthquake in Syria, in Turkey, the churches, the buildings have collapsed, the places have fallen, people are dying. We can give thanks as we are here. The war in Ukraine, the things that people are suffering in countries where they do not have the freedom to worship, you think they will talk about, oh, how the aircon is too cold, how the church is too far away, how I cannot see the slides. They're not going to complain about all this. They're not going to grumble about all this. So as we look at what we have, let us learn to give thanks. Let us learn to sing. Let us make melody to the Lord. I've said it many times when I was in national service at the Istana. You know, standing there alone, I complain a lot. I really complain a lot. I complain to God. But I'm also reminded by the book of Psalms. If you read through the book of Psalms, there's many of them that begins with complaints, grumbling. Why so long, oh God? But they always end with a praise and a surrender to God. And I think that is what we can do, we should do. As you bring your complaints, sufferings to God, you know, by all means do it. But bring yourself back to Him, submit to Him, surrender to Him, give thanks for what you have, and not focus on what you do not have. And finally, you know, believers filled with the Spirit will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, submission is not easy. We have the perfect model for submission in Jesus Christ. You know, this is the master who bowed down to wash the feet of his disciples. This is the sinless man who gave his life on the cross for the sinful, for the undeserving. We are called to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is a mutual submission that requires a humility and understanding. That we learn to submit to those in authority at home, in the church, in the community that you are in. And we learn to submit to those who are younger, to those who are older, to those whose areas of expertise might differ from yours. We learn to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, in the EDC, that's the church leaders, the church leadership, the elders, the deacons, the pastors. Now, do you think we are always in agreement with one another? There will be disagreements. And in our discussions, there are times where we do not agree with one another. But we learn, we are still learning to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission does not always mean that one is right, the other is wrong. You know, that is how the world looks at things. God's way for his children is mutual submission, where we submit out of love, out of reverence for God. Now, if my wife, Sharon, she wants to paint one of the room at home pink, I want it gray. I don't like pink. I wouldn't argue, I wouldn't fight with her over it. It is not a matter of life and death, nor is it a matter of right or wrong. Oh, pink is nicer, gray is what, you know. But I can willingly submit because of reverence to God. Because God is the witness to our marriage vows. For better or worse, we are a couple. God is our witness. We submit to one another, not simply because for our love for one another, but because of our love for God. And as a couple, we can pray about it, and we can talk over it peacefully. So if you find yourself having troubles, difficulties with submission, your mutual submission to your spouse, your loved ones, I think it would be wise to watch your walk, to check yourself for selfish pride, for foolishness, for anything that is not of God that is stopping you from submission to one another. Even in the book of Acts, we see the apostles submitting to one another. Acts chapter 15, there was differences, there was disagreement over the need to circumcise the Gentile converts and for them to keep the Mosaic law, to keep the Jewish costume. The council eventually decided that it was not necessary, but they should keep certain rules so as to maintain peace in the church. It is an act of mutual submission between two groups of believers. It's an act of submission between two groups of believers out of reverence for Christ. They could have continued to say a lot of things, become angry, and perhaps there and then, even in Acts chapter 15, the church could have splitted. We are thankful that it didn't, but they showed the example of mutual submission. The walk of the apostles was one filled with the Spirit, one where they walked as children of light, revealing the darkness in the lives of everyday people, and they walked in love of the Lord, their Savior, loving all who called Christ their Lord. Now, today's passage is not a standalone story, it's not a standalone lesson. I think it reveals so much of the gospel. It links with so many of Christ's teachings, even the Apostle Paul's teaching. And this morning I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to you and lead you in reflecting on your walk. You might have accepted the Lord as personal Savior many years ago. You might have accepted Him yesterday. You might have been baptized as a child, or you were baptized just last year, or you have not been baptized. Remember that your life in Christ is a new life. Not new in terms of days, but new as a transformed life, one that is different from the old. One day, 10 days, 20 years, as a child of God, it is still a new life in Christ because it is a changed life. It is one that is transforming, constantly transforming towards Christ's likeness. So let us continue to imitate God, knowing that we are beloved children, knowing that we can walk in His love, we can walk with His love, we can demonstrate His love. Watch your walk every day, every moment. And perhaps as others watch your walk and they are asked, did did Jordan walk this way? I pray that their answers will be, he or she walked with God. May it be evident that you walked with God. All praise and glory be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are our Father, our King. And we give thanks for your living word that speaks to us now, as it has always spoken to your people. We give thanks for the call to be imitators of God and to walk in love as Christ loved us. And Lord, I pray that you lead us as we reflect on our walk, on our new life in you. And I pray that your Spirit fill us, refresh us each day, empower us, and lead us in praising you, in giving thanks, and in submission to you. Teach us to submit to you and to one another out of love. God, we trust in your power that lives in us, your Spirit that changes us. We give thanks to you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In response, may this song motivate us, may this song remind us that we can walk the talk by allowing Jesus to show us and lead us.
Be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see. Will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. And as thy way, I'll rise up like an eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Let's rise and we sing it together.
Lord, unfill my life. Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you all of your love.
Will you sing it out to the Lord?
And hold me close, let your love surround me and bring me near. Draw me to your side.
O Lord, lead us and teach us to always honor you, so that so much in our life, when people see us, will propel them to ask what is the hope that we have, and we can share Christ to them. So this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.